We have nearly a full house here tonight, thank God. And as a matter of fact, we're bringing in more chairs right now. So that's really good. Good evening, friends. It's a pleasure to come into your home or wherever you watch this television show with eschatology, which is the biblical study of last things. My name is Jimmy Phillips. I'm from Amarillo, Texas. And this program tonight, as you watch it, is coming live from a seminar that I do each month at the Ambassador Hotel in Amarillo. So if you hear clapping and you hear amens, then you know you're listening to a live audience as we study the Word of God together. I'm dealing with a great subject, I think one of the most important subjects that you can deal with in this day in which we are living. I'm talking about the promised land. God gave a land to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, and he gave them that land. And God said in his word that this land would be theirs forever. And when God uses the word forever, he means forever. Now, it was taken away from them, most of the land was, because of their sins. But that doesn't mean that it is not going to be returned to the Israelis during the millennial reign. They will have all of that land back. It's just kind of like this. I have my granddaughter here tonight. And suppose I bought her a brand new car, gave her the title, and gave her the keys to it, and I said, Madeline, this is your car. It's yours to drive, and you take good care of it. But the first time you get a speeding ticket, we're going to put it in the garage. We're going to lock it up for 90 days, and you can't have the keys for 90 days. That still was her car. It will still be her car. That's the way it is with Israel. God gave the land to them, and one of these days they're going to have back all of the land that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you'll remember, the Bible says that God told Abraham, all the land you see, everywhere your foot touches, will be yours. And I'll talk about that in just a few minutes, about the land that will be returned to the Israelis. Now, on May 14, 1948, is one of the most important dates on the Christian calendar. It was on that day that Israel became a nation in a night. No other country in the world, in the entire world, or the history of the world, has ceased to be a nation and then be reborn in a night. The Bible says, who hath heard such a thing? How can a nation be born in a day? And that's exactly what happened May 14, 1948 in Tel Aviv, Israel. And David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, went down Rothschild Street in Tel Aviv in an automobile. He went to an art museum. There were 400 reporters in that museum, that art museum, and David Ben-Gurion went up to the podium and he read a speech. It was 997 words long, and it took David Ben-Gurion 17 minutes to read that speech. And in that speech, he declared that Israel was now a nation. Here in the United States of America, Harry Truman was our president. Harry Truman was a man of integrity. He was a man that spoke his peace, but he kept his integrity. And he was the first one to say that Israel would become a nation, and other than the Bible. And General Marshall, who was one of Harry Truman's best friends, and as a matter of fact, Harry Truman called General Marshall the greatest American that ever lived. But General Marshall was against Israel becoming a nation. And General Marshall told David Ben-Gurion, He said, if you declare Israel a nation, in 3 days there won't be a Jew alive on the face of the earth. David Ben-Gurion got behind that podium, and the newscasters were there, and there were thousands out in the street dancing and singing the Israeli songs as David Ben-Gurion read that 997-word speech in 17 minutes. And he said, I now declare that Israel is a nation. Now let me mention to you, friends, that Israel is the second most smallest nation in the entire world. Israel is only about 50 miles wide at her widest spot and approximately 200 miles long, and at her narrowest spot, she is only 3 miles wide. Israel has only 1/1,000th of the world's population. Do you understand that there are only 6 million Jews in Israel, and there's only 13 million Jews in the entire world? The 13 million Jews, or rather 6 million Jews in Israel, 3 million Jews in New York, and 3 million Jews scattered all around the world. But they are one of the most productive nations in all of the world. As small as they are, the smallness of their bulk, they are one of the most productive nations in all of the world. And so Israel's landmass is only 1/16th of the size of California. 1/16th of the size of California. It's only the size of New Jersey, or maybe smaller in square miles. But it's one of the most productive nations in all of the world. What they are going to do, and I mentioned this a moment ago, during the millennial reign, and if you're not familiar with the word millennial, let me mention the word millennial or millennium is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. But the words 1,000 years are mentioned 5 times in 6 verses of Scripture in the book of Revelation. It's a 1,000-year period of peace. It's after the rapture of the church, after 7 years of great tribulation on this earth, when then Jesus comes back riding on a white horse and his saints following him, and there's a 75-day period where Jesus takes care of a lot of business. There will be the judgment of the nations, which is the sheep nations and the goat nations. The sheep nations will be on Jesus' right-hand side, and the goat nations will be on his left-hand side. There will be the judgment of the nation. Not only that, the remnant of the Jews that fled to Petra, which is in modern Jordan, that red rose city, they will come back to Jerusalem. And not only that, the household of Israel will be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Israel and the Jews are looking for a Messiah, and they are looking for peace, and they're looking for some type of a panacea. And they're looking for someone to come on the scene and say, I bring you peace. That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to confirm a peace pact with Israel right after the rapture of the church when he is revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so he will confirm a peace pact, and the Israelis are looking for peace. They will give land for peace. They want peace. They haven't had any peace. They are at war with all of their neighbors, or their neighbors are at war with them. They don't have any rest. You can't build a new home in Israel now unless you have a bomb shelter. We are living in perilous days. And so Israel is promised that land to be returned back to them. During the millennial reign, this little tiny nation is going to become very, very large. As a matter of fact, they're going to have all of the land that they have right now. They're going to have Lebanon. They're going to have the West Bank of Jordan. They're going to have Syria. They're going to have part of Iraq and part of Saudi Arabia. That is given to us in the Old Testament, where the Bible says to Abraham that I will give you all of the land that your feet tread upon or that you have seen. You can find that in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, and in Genesis 18, verse 28. So there is this, some of the people right now are calling for Israel to go back to our 1967 borders. If you remember, the war, the Six-Day War in 1967, was a six-day war, and Israel whipped the socks off from her enemies. And even after, when they became a nation at 1948, and General Marshall said there won't be a Jew alive in 3 days, there are 5 nations that came against Israel. When in less than 24 hours, Israel had 2 Piper Cub airplanes and a few machine guns, and these people that had all types of modern instruments of war, 4 nations came against Israel, and in Israel, that little ragtag army, with God's help, whipped the socks off from her enemies. So Israel is alive and well. Israel is God's chosen land. 9, Jack Van Impe said, and I have a lot of faith in Jack Van Impe, even though he and I don't agree on everything, but Dr. Jack Van Impe, who is recognized as a walking Bible and has 18,000 verses of Scripture committed to memory by subject, what an amazing mind that he has, he made the statement that 930 times in the Bible says Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And he indicated that it would. The Bible says that or applies that or indicates that 930 times that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. There are people that are wanting to divide Jerusalem. There are people that are saying Jerusalem is not the capital of Israel. There are people that are against Jerusalem. The United Nations, by record, has voted 100 times to 1 against Jerusalem when they were at the United Nations. What, by record, 100 times to 1 have they voted against Jerusalem. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible lets us know, Jerusalem is the navel of the world. Jerusalem is the center of the world. And one day, Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the world with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this. There's so many prophecies about Israel that I could talk 6 or 8 months about just the promised land or Israel alone. Last month, I got to this point. Do you realize that the Bible prophesied that there would be treasures in the darkness and treasures in the sea in Israel? There are several scriptures that refer that God is placing treasures for Israel in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, by the way, is the most wealthy place on the planet Earth. I have been to the Dead Sea. Sweet Joyce and I have been there. It's the lowest spot on the entire world. It's dead. No fish can live there. I waded out into it. You can't drown because you'll float. It's got so much salt in it. I waded out into it and came back and tried to shower my legs off, and it was like 10 weight motor oil on my legs. But since then, Israel has the Dead Sea has become the wealthiest spot in the entire planet Earth. Do you realize that the Bible lets us know that nothing could grow there? You can't catch any fish. There's no fish. It's a dead sea. But during the millennial reign, or at the second coming of Jesus, when he comes back with a white horse and he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives cleaves from the east to the west, and the greatest earthquake that has ever taken place in the history of the world takes place, do you realize fresh water is going to flow up from under Jerusalem, and fresh water is going to flow to the Mediterranean Sea, and fresh water is going to flow to the Dead Sea, and the Bible says the Dead Sea will become alive. I saw a farm down by the Dead Sea where they were raising shrimp in fresh water, and they had a sign and said, Dead Sea Shrimp sold here. And when one of these days when it becomes a freshwater sea and people will catch fish like they do in the Mediterranean Sea, then they will release these shrimp into the Dead Sea. It's an amazing thing what is happening in the world and in the Middle East. So my focus for 3 or 4 months is the promised land. What has God promised Israel, and what exactly is happening? Do you know for centuries, these predictions about God hiding treasures in the darkness and in the waters, these prophecies have gone unfulfilled. Let me read to you from the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 19. The Bible says, And they shall call the people unto the mountain, and there they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck from the abundance of the sea and the treasures that are hid in the sand. 3,000 years ago, that's what was prophesied that Israel would do. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3, the Bible says, And I will give thee treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which the God has called thee by name, I am the God of Israel. So God gave Israel this promise. One more verse of scripture. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 13. O thou that dwellest up on thine end is come, and the measure of thy covenants. You know, during the British mandate in the 1930s, they gave Potash Company the privilege of going to the Dead Sea and start extracting minerals from the Dead Sea. The Potash Company. I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that the Dead Sea will become two seas. It's already done it. And the south third of the Dead Sea is solid salt. You can walk across it. 15 years ago, you couldn't. 20 years ago, you couldn't do it. But now it's solid salt, and there's two seas there. There is a sea of salt, and there is a sea of salt water. So God's word that was prophesied 3,000 years ago has been fulfilled in your lifetime, and we're living in days when Scripture is being fulfilled so fast that we just can't keep up with it. Now, Potash Company went to the Dead Sea, and they began to pump a slush-like liquid from the Dead Sea. They had pumps 200 feet high on the north end of the Dead Sea. And then they begin to pump this slush-like liquid in 30-inch pipes 1,200 feet up from where they were, 1,200 more feet up. When they got up 1,200 feet, Potash Company put some great big evaporating pans in different strategic spots. They were about the size of probably this entire hotel building. And they would pump up this slush-like into these pans, and the heat of the Middle East and the desert would cause an evaporation, and then they would extract the minerals that were taken out of it. They would pour it back down into another great big pan, or as about the size of this hotel building, and then there would be more minerals. They would do that for four times, and they became very, very wealthy. They collected in those pans magnesium chloride. That's what we make our table salt, or that's used to make aluminum, And then they extracted sodium chloride. That's what we use to make our table salt. Next, they extracted calcium chloride. Then they extracted potassium chloride. Then they extracted a magnesium bromide, and they became very, very wealthy. Now, let me show you what has already been yielded out of the Dead Sea. I know I'm talking fast, and you can't take notes that fast, but you can buy the CD if you want it. They have extracted 22 billion tons of magnesium chloride, and that at $250 a ton amounts to $6.38 trillion just out of that one mineral from the Dead Sea. They have extracted sodium chloride 11 billion tons, 11 billion, and at $400 a ton, that is $4.95 trillion that potash has reaped. They have extracted calcium chloride 5 billion tons at $200 a ton, and that equates to $1.75 trillion. They have extracted magnesium chloride out of the Dead Sea, 1 billion tons of magnesium chloride at $1,200 a ton, and that comes to $1.28 trillion. You add all of that up, and that's over $14 trillion. I've said this before, but I want to say it again. If you look at your watch and count the second hands, if you counted to a thousand, or rather a million, it would take you 32 years. But if you counted to a trillion, it would take you 32,000 years. Can you believe our nation is $17 trillion in debt tonight? So that you see, they have gone to over and over collecting and becoming very, very wealthy. Now the Israelis are smart. They work smart. You know, there's one thing to work hard, and there's another thing to work smart. Did you hear about the man that got his pickup truck, and he got his two boys, and they went to the farmer's market, and they bought watermelons for a dollar apiece and filled the pickup truck full. He took his boys out the next day. They went from house to house, and he said, "Now sell these watermelons, boys, and charge $1 for them." And they sold all of the watermelons. That night, the man started counting his money. He didn't understand why he hadn't made a profit. They bought them for a dollar apiece and sold them for a dollar apiece. Finally, it dawned on him. He called his boys in. He said, "I know what the problem is, boys." He said, "We got to get a bigger truck if we want to make some money." So there's such a thing as working dumb and working smart. Do you know that the Middle East is the most productive place in all the world? Not the Middle East. Israel is the most productive place in all of the world. Do you understand that the Jerusalem and Israel is feeding 95% of Western Europe with citrus fruit. And it's just a little tiny country about half the size of the panhandle of Texas, 1/16th the size of California. They're supplying 95% of the citrus fruit. Do you understand that the Israelis, the Bible says, that that land would blossom like a rose? When Mark Twain went there and wrote in his memoirs, it was a desert. And he said, nothing but jackals and rattlesnakes can live in this part of the world. And now it is blossoming like a rose. 3,000 years ago, Isaiah said that Israel would be reborn and would blossom like a rose. The Israelis have planted over 3 million trees since it has become a nation. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. Do you realize that they invented the drip irrigation system? And this is something that the United States is trying to duplicate. They invented the drip irrigation system, where one plant is thirsty and one plant is not, and then they put a computer on it, and the plant that is thirsty gets the water, and the one that is not thirsty doesn't get any water. They say that not one drop of water is wasted. And the United States now is trying to learn how they have worked that way. No other country in the Middle East has contributed what Israel has contributed. Most of the Middle East countries are contributing hate, they're contributing intolerance, they're contributing oppression, and they're especially their women. They are contributing that to the world, but Israel is contributing great things of profit to the world. My ladies and gentlemen, the pendulum microprocessor in your computer was made in Israel, that little tiny country. Voice technology was developed in Israel, that little tiny country. Both Microsoft and Cisco were built there only on their facilities, and they are the greatest in that outside of the United States of America. And then the facts tells us that the technology of AOL and instant messengers, ICQ, was developed in 1996 by 4 young Israeli youths. So they are developing things that you and I are enjoying today. Israel is the fourth largest military, or the fourth most effective military in all of the world. They have one of the greatest air forces in the entire world. Those pilots have runways underneath the earth, underneath the ground, and they run underneath the ground, and then a trap door opens up, and they come up and they fly around the Golden Heights, and they are the most effective military and air force that the world has ever seen. And so you see, Israel is so productive that a lot of people does not understand about the promised land. Israel's 100 billion economy is larger than all of its immediate neighbors combined. Isn't it strange that Israel is the smallest country in the Middle East, and they're outnumbered 270-1 with land mass and people, and yet the people around them are wanting Israel. They're wanting to drive them into the seas. They say we'll get the Sunday people first, Saturday people first, and we'll get the Sunday people next. Ladies and gentlemen that are watching this on television, I'm coming to a close. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can say yes to Christ who said yes to the cross. My contact information is on the screen below. I would love to hear from you. Please write, and God richly bless you. Come into your home again. I come into your home or wherever you watch this television show every week, and my emphasis is eschatology, which is the biblical study of last things. I'm not doing this from a studio tonight. I'm doing this from a live prophecy seminar with a live group of people that are here and gathered here for this seminar. I would like to encourage you to tell your neighbors to turn on their television, and I would encourage you to write me. My contact information is on the screen below, and you can write me, and I'd be glad to respond to you. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you'll write me and tell me, then I will send you a New Testament to help you in your newborn faith in Jesus Christ. I've been teaching in this seminar about Israel or the Promised Land. I'm talking about the second smallest country in all of the world that is one of the most effective countries in all of the world. Israel has one of the greatest air forces in all of the world. They are feeding the Bible says in Isaiah 3,000 years ago or 2,800 years ago, that they would feed the world with fruit. And Israel is doing that today. The Bible says that a desert would bloom like a rose. The word rose is only used two times in the entire Bible. It's used in the Songs of Solomon that talk about Jesus is the rose of Sharon. Then it's used in the book of Isaiah that talks about that a nation would blossom and bloom like a rose. I was preaching in Oklahoma just a couple of years ago, and I was at my book stand at the back of the building after the service. A lady came up to me and said she owns a flower shop, and she said the best roses that she can get in all the world, she orders them from Israel. Do you know when Princess Di died, Israel sent to her funeral 1 million roses? The United States didn't do that. Germany didn't do it. We didn't have them. But Israel, that little tiny country, sent 1 million roses to the funeral of Princess Di. So they are a very productive nation. Israel has the largest percentage of home computers in all of the world. I was sitting at the airport in Tulsa, Oklahoma, waiting at a gate, and everybody that got off from the airplane had a phone in their hand, or they had something sticking out of their ear, everyone. And as I sat there, everybody sat down, had a computer. And I told the man sitting next to me, I said, how in heaven's name were we able to run this country before cell phones and before computers? If I have a problem with a computer, my six-year-old granddaughter usually has an answer for me in addition to Ed Shields. But Israel is the one that invented the computer that they have more per capita than any nation in all the world. According to industry officials, Israel designed the airline industry that has the most successful security in all of the world. Do you know what the name of Israel's airline is? It's EL Airline. EL means with God. That's where you get the name Michael. E-L, with God. Gabriel, E-L, with God. It's with God airline. And the United States is now studying their security. I want to tell you something. I've been through their security two or three times. And their security is the toughest in all of the world. But once you get through their security, then you feel more safe than you would on most any airline, and they have less casualties than any airline in the world. EL Airline. Israel has, get this, ladies and gentlemen, Israel has the largest ratio of university degrees per their population than any country in all of the world. I thought that was astounding when I started researching this week about Israel's education program. And they have more of university degrees to the population than any other country in all of the world. Israel produces more scientific papers per capita than any other nation by a large majority. 109 per capita for 10,000 people, and it has the highest rate of patents offered than any place in all of the world. I'm talking about a little spot on the face of the earth. In production to population, Israel has the largest number of startup companies than any nation in all of the world, with more than 3,000 high-tech companies and startup. Israel has the largest concentration of high-tech companies in the world, apart from the Silicon Valley in the United States. So that makes Israel ranked number 2 in the world for ventures, for capital funds and startup companies, right behind the United States. When God called Israel a promised land, he meant what he said. When God called Israel the apple of his eye, he meant what he said. When God said to the world, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, God knew what he was saying. Every time a nation has cursed Israel, that nation has fallen by the wayside, but Israel still exists, and Israel is still productive and going stronger than she's ever gone. Outside the United States and Canada, Israel has the largest number of NASDAQ listed companies in all of the world. Israel has the highest average living standards of any nation in the Middle East, much higher. Do you realize that per capita income last year was $26,000, exceeding the United Kingdom of Great Britain? Israel's has the greatest per capita income of the Middle East. 24%, get this, 24% of the workforce of Israel holds university degrees. You can't say that about the United States of America, ranking 3rd in the industrial world. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to run out of time, so I'm skipping a lot of this facts and figures about Israel. Israel is the most productive in fruit and in avocados. Do you know the avocados we have are what size of a fruit, just a apple or a big apple? Israel has avocados this large, and they grow them on their trees, and they are the ones that introduced to France how to produce and how to cook and prepare avocados. Israel is the 100th smallest country with less than 1/1,000th of the world's population, and no other nation can claim what they can claim per capita. So Israel is alive and well, and Israel is God's chosen people. You know, the United States, I think our government does some dumb things, but I do dumb things too. And I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. I'm talking about both of them. They do some dumb things. Think about this. Just think about it. But Israel knows what they are doing when it comes to these types of things. The Lord's Prayer is only 66 words long. The Lord's Prayer. That's not very long. But how important is the Lord's Prayer? The Gettysburg Address is only 286 words long. And how often have we heard about that? The Declaration of Independence is only 1,322 words. But yet, our government, Republicans and Democrats, just on the regulation of selling cabbage, is a total of 26,911 words just on the regulation of selling cabbage. So you see, Israel condenses all of this, and Israel doesn't waste anything. They are growing strawberries that you couldn't put in one of those coffee cups unless you cut it up. And they're growing them in gravel pits, not out in fertile land, but in gravel pits. One writer said, as the navel is set in the human body, and so is Jerusalem, the center of the land of Israel. And the sanctuary is the center of Jerusalem. And the holy place is the center of the sanctuary. And the ark is in the center of the holy place. And the foundation stone is in the center of the holy place, and because from it the world was formed. There's a lot of teachers now, and I haven't gotten to that point yet, but there's a lot of teachers that are teaching that Adam and Eve were at Mount Moriah. That's where they were, and the Garden of Eden was at Mount Moriah. I'm still under the opinion it was in the Fertile Crescent, between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, up where Babylon is, or Babylon is what's left of Babylon is. But Israel, some people say that Adam and Eve were created by God at Mount Moriah, at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So you see, whether they were or not, it's still the navel of the body. It's still the center of the earth. Do you know that the Bible says God has given Israel permanent ownership to a unique land? Bob Scarf, sitting right here, our harmonica player, subscribed for me a magazine called Israel My Glory. I read that magazine. I read it from cover to cover. It has some great things, and I want to quote something from Israel My Glory. It said, in the light of God's unique purpose for Israel to glorify himself before the world and to bring blessing to the world through Israel, it was essential that God placed the nation in a unique location where it would have attention and influence out of proportion to its size. God did exactly that. He gave Israel the land of Canaan, perhaps the most strategic location in the world for attention and for influence. Canaan is the crossroads of Asia, Africa, and Europe, and for centuries, the major trade routes and military routes of the world passed through the land of Israel. Because of Israel's location, the major world powers have to deal with Israel because of her location. God put them there for a purpose. A purpose that he did not change his mind. He said, I will give you this land, and he uses the word forever. Thank God, forever means forever with the Almighty God. And he gave that to Israel forever. Isaiah said, and now we're talking 28,000, 29,000 years ago, or 100 years ago. almost 3,000 years. Isaiah said, "He shall call them that come out of Jacob to take root." Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. That's where Israel started. He shall cause them that come out of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and here's what it says, and fill the face of the world with fruit. You might be shocked if you went to the supermarket and found out exactly where that fruit came from. There's a good possibility it came from Israel. Isaiah chapter 35. I know I've given you a lot of verses of scripture, but I just want to support it with the word. The wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the joy than singing. The glory of Lebanon shall it be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of the Almighty God. Did you notice that? You may have slid over that when you read Isaiah 35. It said the excellency of Carmel. I've read that and I've read it and I've read it. It's talking about fruit and talking about the production of Israel. And I couldn't understand what the excellency of Carmel is until I did a little more research and I found out that the largest packing company in all of Israel that packs fruit and sends it to all over the world is called Carmel Packing Company. I think that's interesting because 2,800 years ago, Isaiah said that would happen, and now it's happening in your day and my day. The Bible said in 520 B.C. that through the prophet Zephaniah, that Israel would be restored to a pure language. And I want to use a good bit of the rest of my time on this. Hebrew is the most perfect language in all the world.